Hey there, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, February 19th, 2007. You are listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, Dr. Dick. That's me. This week's podcast is brought to you by the Free Speech Coalition. The Free Speech Coalition is the national trade organization for the adult entertainment industry. It's their mission to safeguard our industry from oppressive government regulation. And boy, do we ever need that these days. The FSC also promotes good business practices within the industry. So if you are enjoying any adult product or service in any form, from a lap dance to a vibrator, then you have the FSC to thank for fighting to keep your rights safe and secure. Visit them on the web at www.freespeechcoalition.com. Okay, on with the show.
Hey, Dr. Dick, this is Jin. I'm 28 and I'm male. I'm from Sydney, Australia. And here's my question. Dr. Dick, I'm addicted to porn. I look at porn for hours a day, at work, at home, on the road, in my room, everywhere, making the rest of my life difficult. I don't have a girlfriend, and I've started exploring the most unusual porn sites. To get off, I need hotter and more obscure stuff, from gangbangs to gonzo-style fuckfests. I'm worried about, one, how much porn I watch and enjoy, and two, if porn is inhibiting my ability to have a relationship with a woman. What do you think, Dr. Dick?
Listen, Jim, there's no such thing as an addiction to porn. Period. Nowadays, people bandy about the term addiction as if it could be applied to any and all obsessive behaviors. I have an addiction to chocolate, I'm addicted to shopping, I'm a sex addict. Nonsense! Let's be clear about this. An addiction is a very specific condition. It denotes a dual dependency, physical as well as psychological. A physical dependency occurs when a substance is habitually used to the point where the body becomes reliant on its effects. The substance must be used constantly, because if it's ever withdrawn, it will trigger symptoms of withdrawal. Psychological dependency occurs when the substance habitually used creates an emotional reliance on its effects. There is no functioning without it. Its absence produces intense cravings, which, if not fed, will trigger symptoms of withdrawal. Get it? What you report about yourself, Jim, is not an addiction. Your behaviors, however, are a classic example of a severe fixation or obsession. Just because out-of-control behavior isn't an addiction doesn't mean it's not serious. You may say to yourself, what the fuck, Doc? Fixation, addiction, it all sounds the same to me. Well, sounding alike and being the same are two very different things. Besides, if one doesn't properly identify the problem, how will one find the proper intervention? And you, my friend, need an intervention ASAP. Your relentless pursuit of pornography, your obsession with more and more graphic and extreme depictions of sex, is clearly interfering with your living a normal life. And at such a tender age, what's up with that? This has got to stop, pup. You can't continue to take refuge in fantasy material in lieu of having healthy interpersonal relationships. And don't try to snow me by telling me that you're enjoying the porn you consume. When consumption of anything, porn, food, whatever, is this unrelenting, there is no enjoyment factor anymore. If you have the psychological capacity to limit your porn consumption on your own, great, do it. Be strict with yourself. Deny yourself access to the materials that fuel your fixation. Channel your energies into connecting with other live humans. If you are unable to monitor your behavior on your own, seek professional help right away. Look to a sex-positive therapist who will assist you in creating boundaries for yourself. Your therapist will help you learn how to reward your successes and not reward your failures. You will, in time, be able to put this obsession behind you. But you must act now. Your humanity hangs in the balance, pup. Good luck! Okay, back to voicemail. Let's see who's up next.
My name is Maria, 24. California. Question's a bit strange. My boyfriend has this kind of weird fetish about coming on me, not just on me, on my boobs, my face. He likes to put in my hair. He likes my feet, practically swimming in the stuff. And though sometimes I don't mind it, and it even gets me off, I'm wondering, why does he have such a desire to come on me? I mean, normally he likes me to be on my knees waiting for his gift, tongue sticking out like a dog. Any thoughts why? Thanks.
Hey, Maria. This is absolutely precious. I love it. Did you ever see the brilliantly funny Mel Brooks movie High Anxiety? In it, Mel Brooks plays Dr. Richard Thorndike, the new administrator of the Psychoneurotic Institute for the Very, Very Nervous. He goes to San Francisco for a conference where he's framed for a murder. Midway through the movie, there's this scene where Thorndike is on the lam. He phones his friend Victoria Brisbane, played by the amazing Madeleine Kahn, from a phone booth to ask for her help. Victoria is in a hotel room where she answers the phone. Just at that moment, Dr. Thorndike is attacked by the real killer who has him by the throat. Because of all the heavy breathing and the choking sounds on the Thorndike end, Victoria thinks she's getting a prank sex call. She protests, then is drawn into the call. It's comic genius. Dr. Thorndike's struggles end when his attacker is impaled on a shard of glass. His death gasps make Victoria think her caller just shot his wad. She responds with disgust, "You animal!" That's where my mind went, Maria, when I got your call. The description of your boyfriend's spooge fetish made me think of Victoria Brisbane and her exclamation, "You animal!" You see, Maria, us boys think all the world is as enamored with our spunk as we are, and so we think we're doing everyone a really big favor by spreading our junk around. We're particularly fond of getting as much of our joy juice as possible on our partners, and the messier the better. We tell you that we do this because we love you, and we just whipped up this tasty little batch of seed just for you, but that's bullshit, of course. What we're really doing is marking our territory. Did you ever notice how pleased with himself a male dog is when he's blissfully lifting his leg to pee on everything in sight? I'd be willing to bet you see a similar shit-eating grin on your boyfriend as you see on that dog when he's coming all over you. Your boyfriend is marking his territory, but instead of piss, he's using his jizz. The upside of this is that our little nut concoction is heavily laden with protein, so you'll not find a better skin emollient anywhere. Just make sure that he doesn't get any in your eyes. That shit burns. Enjoy! Okay, back to voicemail. Let's see who's up next.
Hi, Dr. Dick. My name is Veronica, and I'm 26. Here's the thing. My boyfriend offered me a vibrator last time he went on a business trip, and he was gone like for a couple of weeks, so I learned to make a good use of his gift, and I even gave him a name. But the fact is that now I could say he's like my vibrator, I mean, like my best friend. And sometimes I even tell my boyfriend I can see him just because I want to stay alone in my bedroom and use my vibrator. So could you please tell me, do you think I'm becoming addicted to my vibrator, or is it normal for a woman? Thanks a lot for your answer. Bye.
Well, Veronica, like I said to the first caller, there's no such thing as an addiction to porn or a vibrator. Maybe you were just being facetious. At the same time, I know how attached a lass can become to an inanimate object. Once Dr. Dick narrowly escaped with his life when he inadvertently discovered a good friend's treasure trove of sex toys while he was helping her move. There was this beautiful hand-carved box tucked away in the closet. Of course, my curiosity got the best of me. I decided to take a closer look. I opened it and carefully unwrapped each toy from its perfumed silk scarf shroud. Yikes! The things I saw made my hair stand on end. There were even a couple of implements there, the very size and shape of which disturbed me deeply. I simply couldn't picture how such scary, prickly things, something that looked like the Spanish Inquisition had designed it, could bring my friend such joy, so I decided to ask her. I gingerly picked up the vibrator using only my thumb and forefinger. Arm outstretched, I walked into the kitchen where my friend and her maiden aunt were packing up the glassware. Well, dear Veronica, you can imagine the commotion. There were squealings, the likes of which would have shamed the banshees. When the dust settled and all regained our composure, I got the talking to of my life. Apparently, my woman friend had an inordinate attachment to Chester, the vibrator. Yes, she had named her vibrator too, but Chester, for crying out loud, why? I had stumbled upon and defiled the Holy of Holies, her toy box, with my icky maleness. I was to be banished from her sight. Well, right after I finished moving her, and until she could fully appease the dildo goddess. On the off chance that you weren't overstating your obsession with your vibrator, Veronica, and that you really are fixated on the thing to the point of excluding your long-suffering boyfriend, then I say, step away from that thing, ma'am. Keep your hands in the air where we can see them. Girl, you need to give your Chester, or whatever its name is, a rest. Put away the plastic meat substitute and go back on a beef diet. Or try a combination of both. Bring your Chester along with you when you bed your boyfriend. Give your boyfriend a look-see on how well you and Chester have been getting along. If it won't be a complete sacrilege, let the boyfriend handle Chester a bit. You know how us men folks take to power tools. Finally, if you simply can't live without your Chester, have the decency to dump your boyfriend. Whatever you do, do not give him a complex by expecting him to compete with something battery-operated. I mean, if the tables were turned, and you were expected to compete with, let's say, a mechanical dick sucker, how would you feel? A mechanical dick sucker. Brilliant! Good luck! Okay, there's time for one more call. Who's up next?
Hello, my name is Doug. I'm a male, 53 years old, and live in San Diego. Right after I turned 10 years old, my 7-year-old brother and I were left in the care of a 12-year-old female relative. And to make a long story short, she soon had both of us naked. She, in turn, took off all her clothes except her panties and bra. And she had us stand side by side as she examined us. She made a big deal about my dick being erect, and none of us knew what an erection was or anything else for that matter. My question is, I had not reached puberty at that time, but I had an erection. So when do boys start having erections? Thank you for your answer. Bye.
Hey, Doug. I was struck with how vivid your recollection of this early sexual experience was, and after all these years. This happened some 41 years ago, right? Isn't it amazing how things like this stay with us? Happy for you, the incident you report was relatively benign. It may have been confusing and even embarrassing to you, but for the most part, your female cousin's interest in you was simply a natural curiosity. She was interested in your male body and how it compared to her female body. Playing doctor like this is a very common childhood experience. We all have a natural interest about our bodies and the bodies of those around us. And our innocence often prevents us from noticing how these sessions might impact on the lives of our playmates. I suppose it doesn't help that our sex-negative culture doesn't supply adequate opportunities for children to investigate their bodies and their sexuality in a safe and wholesome sort of way. This compounded with early messages that some parts of our bodies are bad or dirty leave most of us perplexed and stymied in our sexual growth. It's also amazing to me that all these years later, you still haven't satisfied your curiosity about childhood sexual arousal in general, or your boyhood erection in particular. The truth is that we are born sexual beings. Babies come out of their mother's wombs in an aroused state, boys with erections and girls lubricating. All our genital nerve endings are functioning right from the get-go. Surely you've noticed that infants are fascinated with their bodies. They spend hours investigating every crack and crevice. Once a baby finds a pleasurable part, mouth, genitals, butt, there's so much enjoyment to be had, sometimes to the great consternation of the adults around them. Adults often mistake innocent, infantile, or childhood sex play as something insidious. It's a mistake for anyone to suspect, or worse, impugn adult motives or implications for most sex play by children. And we do our kids as well as ourselves a disservice by mistrusting and denying our children these very natural inclinations. Thanks for your question, Doug. Okay, I'd like to move on and do some sexual enrichment kind of programming. Today, we bring you a tutorial on liberating the B.O.B. within. So you finally decided to become a B.O.B. That's big old bottom. Tired of missing out on all that ass play everyone's talking about? Been secretly tripping on the exploits of your favorite porn stars? Geez, would you get a load of that? His hole looks like the Victory Arch in Paris, for Christ's sake. And now you want a piece of that action for yourself? But wait, there's a wrinkle. You're a virgin, or worse yet, there's been an exit sign on your poop chute for so long that the mere thought of someone diddling your asshole makes you blanch and swoon. I'm getting letters from all kinds of folks. Dear Dr. Dick, help! I want to be a bottom, or at least I think I do. My boyfriend's been begging me for my booty big time. Or, my girlfriend just got herself a strap-on. Yikes! But I'm just way too tight down there, and he's really big. Or, and she thinks turnabout is fair play. Our playtime always ends the same way. Frustration for him, or her, and a pain in the ass for me. How do those porno guys and gals do it? Well, first off, darling, porno guys and gals, as you so lovingly refer to them, are professionals. And Dr. Dick suggests that a novice butt pirate like you not try that fancy stuff at home before you have the basics down. So listen up, bottom wannabes. Pleasurable buggering depends upon three simple but very important things. Number one, the will. Number two, being relaxed, and number three, a considerate partner. Okay, first, you gotta really want to get fucked. This may sound elementary, but it's not. Some of my clients secretly confess that they don't want anyone near their precious tushy, and no amount of pleading or whimpering on the part of their long-suffering partner or partners is going to change that. For some, getting it up the ass is associated with domination and not pleasure. Manly men, don't bottom for anyone. Oh, right, Mary. Methinks you doth protest too much. Others have religious reservations. Why, if God wanted me to get fucked, he would have given me a vagina. Still others have aesthetic concerns. Oh, no, that's way too icky and messy. Well, I can assure you that these boys and girls ain't never going to be a bottom, no how. Second, let's just say you're dying to get fucked, but you're so intimidated by your top's one-eyed monster that your quivering asshole is like totally in shutdown mode. Then chill out. Why not begin your sex play with your partner giving you a relaxing, sensual back rub? After a while, he or she could move on to a little butt play. And I do mean play. The object here is pleasure, not penetration. Have him or her tease your asshole with his or her finger. A tongue works really nicely, too. This is called rimming, but you probably already know that because you're not a complete idiot, huh? A gentle, circular motion works best. Have your top use his or her hands to spread your ass cheeks. This will give your top a better access to your rosebud and give you a double dose of pleasure. After a while, a lubricated finger can be inserted for a bit of prostate massage. That is, if you're a boy. When you're ready to kick it up a notch, have your partner try inserting two fingers, or a small dildo. Rhythmic, deep breathing will help keep you relaxed. And when you're all loosened up and ready to become like one of them porno guys or gals, you can plug in the real thing. Or that strap-on. Experiment with different positions. Try sitting down on that big old thing. Or do it doggy style. Getting laid while you're on your side with your man coming at you from behind gives you a bit more control over the depth of his thrusting. And of course, there's also the traditional missionary position. You on your back, legs spread eagle, and your pumps pointing to the stars. Third and finally, having a big dick doesn't automatically make a guy a good top. A considerate partner, big dong or big strap-on or not, will happily join you in exploring your asshole. He or she will concentrate on pleasuring you first because he or she knows that an investment in your anal pleasure today will reap a harvest of mutual pleasure tomorrow. Coming soon, Dr. Dick's Tutorial for Tops. Don't miss it. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. This week's podcast sponsor, the Free Speech Coalition, would like to remind you that censorship and government incursions into our private lives have no place in a free and open society like the good old U.S. of A. If you agree with this as much as Dr. Dick, and you think that your First and Fourth Amendment rights are worth fighting for, then please join me in supporting the Free Speech Coalition. You can visit them on the web at www.freespeechcoalition.com. You'll find a wealth of information about your rights and how to defend them. Remember, people, this is the front line. Every informed citizen must stand and defend it. Before we go, I do want to call your attention to the lickety-split connection at drdicksexadvice.com. That's Dr. Dick's toll-free podcast voicemail. Got a question? No time to write? Give Dr. Dick a call at 866-422-5680. Again, that toll-free voicemail telephone number is 866-422-5680. And look for Dr. Dick's podcast on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section. Just search for Dr. Dick. And don't forget to subscribe. We don't want you to miss even one exciting episode. So until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.